Do you want God to use you greatly? Do you want God to use you greatly? Then he must wound you deeply. Then he must wound you deeply. Then he must wound you deeply. For those whom God uses greatly, he must first wound deeply. You will suffer, not just as a Christian, but for Christ. The question is whether or not you will suffer like Christ. Friends will betray you. Critics will criticize you. Enemies will oppose you. Staff will fail you. Health will leave you, and joy will escape you. Those whom God uses greatly must first be wounded deeply. Story of the Bible. It highlights the death of Jesus, who was wounded so that he might be used. We suffer well. You have suffered, you are suffering, you will suffer. In what ways and to what degrees in the providence of God will be chosen by him and received by you. In those moments, as you suffer, not because you did the wrong thing, but because you did the right thing. Not because you said the wrong thing, but because you said the right thing. Not suffering because of your folly, but suffering because of your faithfulness. You will wonder, is God sovereign? Yes, he is. Is God good? Yes, he is. Is God punishing me? No, he is not. Our suffering is not punishment for our sin. Christ died in our place for our sins. He suffered. He suffered. So that when we are suffering, we would know it is not punishment from a God who is against us. It is correction from a Father who adores us. One third of the Psalms are Psalms of lament or groaning. Every Old Testament prophetic book includes lamenting, with one exception. Today I want to work from Ephesians chapter 3. It is Paul's lament. It is Paul's groaning in the midst of Paul's suffering. Now, the commentators will call this Paul's digression. They will say that he began to pray at the end of chapter 2, beginning of chapter 3, and then he had a tangential digression, and he picks up his thought with his prayer in verse 14. They would say that this is tangential. It is not. It is essential, not tangential. The Holy Spirit does not have wasted tangential excursions. Here we're learning not just about what Paul is thinking, but how he is suffering. Because God's word always comes through God's servant. Paul wants us to get to know him. He says in Ephesians 3:1 that he is, quote, a prisoner for Christ Jesus. He is literally in prison, not for any wrong he has done, but before Christ, it is because he is committed to the gospel above all. Sometimes you will suffer for saying and doing the right thing. That is Paul's experience in prison. His reputation is destroyed. The critics are swarming him like bees. Those who are against him see an opportunity to ravage his flock back in Ephesus as he is in prison in Rome. The headlines of the day are that perhaps Paul is not blessed of God. Perhaps he is cursed of God. He is not prospering. He is suffering. He is not free. He is in prison. The religious critics are overjoyed. The self-righteous negatives are cheering. He's a prisoner. He's sitting literally in a hole, which is a Roman jail cell. It is dark, it is cold, it is wet, he is hungry, he is lonely, and he does not even have the comfort of his church. He is separated from Ephesus, the church to which he writes, suffering. Talks about his sin while he is suffering, he realizes that as a religious person, he caused other people to suffer. Religious people tend not to suffer. They tend to cause others to suffer. And they add to their suffering. They don't bring the healing balm of the gospel. They bring the stinging lash of the law. Today, you need to learn how to suffer well. So, dear friend, let's take what has been to this point somewhat theological and theoretical and ask this question. Who has betrayed you? Who has abandoned you? How are you suffering? What are you worried about? Who has shipwrecked their life and you are devastated? What loss are you reeling from? What critic has made it their life's mission to ensure that you suffer? How has your reputation been maligned and misrepresented? How has even your spouse failed you? When you needed comfort, they did not comfort. When you needed friendship, they were not present. The question is this: how in the world? Where is Paul? Paul's talking about the victory, the ruling, the reigning, the authority, the majesty of the resurrected King of Kings, Lord of Lords, high and exalted, seated on a throne. The whole of Ephesians is about Jesus in glory, Jesus in majesty, Jesus conquering over the powers and principalities. Say, but where is he? Jail? Here's what Paul is saying. Paul does not treasure his health, his freedom, his job, his reputation, or his relationships above and beyond the gospel of Jesus Christ.